morning. Does that work, the mic? God is good. And you know that song, "The Lord Almighty is with us"? Isn't that wonderful that the Lord Almighty is with us? He's not far. He's with us. And of course, before I start, just want to also thank God for Pastor Tom and Miss Rose for being with us this morning. And, you know, let's just think about, I came from Kushai, it's about maybe 1,500 miles away. And you came from about 9,000 miles away, leaving all the families. And so, just want to really thank God. I'm just talking like friends now. So, just want to thank you folks for coming out here. And we look forward to be part of you and be you part of our family here at Faith Church. By the way, I've been here 33 years and loving it here at Faith Church. There is no place I would like to go to. I know folks change churches. I don't know why they change church. This is a great church. So just want to say that last Sunday, matter of fact, Pastor, I asked for prayer because you're going to be listening to me. And I said, that's hard. And also, sometimes our professor, Michael Owens, comes here, but I'm glad he's not here this morning. It's a good thing in this church. And so I'm just trying to get things out of the way before I, you know. So, we're done. You know, sometimes we say life is not fair. It's not fair. And when I say, and I listen, and I'm talking to these folks here, you guys will be also asked to say some things later. You are part of the message. You know, I'm not an experienced preacher or what. You are going to help me today. But now I'm going to talk to our people here, right here. And so, did you ever hear anybody say, it's not fair? Okay, or that's not right. And so I heard someone say, yes. So what was that? Who said that it's not fair? Your sister. Your sister said it's not fair? And what was that she said it's not fair? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, she waited for her turn for the computer. And Isaac is spending a lot of time on the computer. That's not fair, right? You need to do, well, she needs to spend time also on the computer. So that's to do with the computer, the time, her time, your time, okay? And anybody else? Yes, Maima. I listen to you guys all the time at the house, so what's one of those things? Yes? TV, all those things, marbles, all those things. And Lincoln, remember I said everybody's a preacher this morning? And so you guys need to help me. Otherwise, I won't say anything. I won't have anything to say. So anybody else? Huh? Nope. Life is fair at the house. Okay. I remember that. Okay. So thank you guys for helping. Before I go on, I really thank God for giving me the opportunity to be standing here. You know what it does to me? Even though I don't preach a lot, I'm the first audience. It really touches me. Because I need to study harder, I guess, than most folks who would stand up here. I go through the whole thing. And you know what? Usually I have to go through the message first and experience it. And so I just want to thank God and thank you, church, for allowing me to be here just to share. Okay? Well, last Sunday, Brother Jeff shared about Anna, about the fact that Anna wasn't very happy, and that life seemed to be unfair because the other wife of Elkanah, Peninnah, almost had everything. She had the children, and she seemed to add her weight, and so Anna complained. Or not really complain, but felt that it was kind of unfair, that life was very hard on her. So she asked for a child, because in that culture, having no child it's almost like a curse that you are looked down upon. And so she finally caught Samuel. And what did she do with Samuel? She turned over Samuel to the Lord and have him stay at the temple with Eli. And so I think the message today is almost the same. Habakkuk asking God for help. All his heart, not just for himself, but for Judah. Okay? So that's all I want to say now. I hope you have an NIV, a Bible ready to read this morning, because I'm going to ask all of us to read basically in the last chapter, chapter 3. First I will read, and then Brother Charlie will read chapter 2, and all of us chapter 3, and if you can stand up later, I'll let you know when. And you can sit down, because a long reading on chapter 3, even only that chapter, and so you can sit down later on if you're tired of standing. So right now, we are going to do that, but before we look into the Word, I'm going to ask God to help us. Okay, so it's the old book of Habakkuk. Let's pray. Lord, you are good all the time. And Lord, you are with us. That is wonderful. And Lord, I just pray that you will help me to say what you want me to say. And to help us apply those things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, 2, 3. I will read first, Brother Charlie, and we all stand in chapter 3. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you did not listen? Or cry out to you for violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteousness, or righteous rather, so that justice is perverted. Then the Lord answered, look at the nations and watch. And be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the old earth and seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fierceness and wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping down to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at fortified cities. They build burden rams and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Easy to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy. Let's all stand then to read chapter 3. If you're tired, take a seat. If you cannot stand up, that's fine. Let's read together chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shikanah. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. So the glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The hands and the age-old hills collapse. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You carved your bow, you killed from arrows, You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and wilted. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood in the heavens, and at the glint of your arrows, at the beginning, in wrath you strode through the earth, and in your anger the nation. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crossed the leader of the land of the weakness. You stripped him from his head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretch you were hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and the cattle in the stead, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, enables me to go on the heights. Thank you. Please have a seat. I know that's a very long reading, but the book of Habakkuk has one main topic. And we can maybe break it down to different sermons, but we have to be careful, make sure that it is just one main subject, that God is in control of everything. Okay, in terms of the genre or our written, it's of course it's a poetry, in prophetic poetry, that is, in the Old Testament. There is a lot of parallelism involved here. And so even though there's a long reading, it just emphasizes on the destruction. Emphasize on each point. It's just a lot of beauty in this writing. And so, unlike the Western or English style of writing for poetry, Hebrew uses a lot of parallelism, but the U.S. or Western way is a lot of rhymes. Rhymes for American style and parallel for Hebrew style. That's what I'm trying to say. So the book of Habakkuk was written just before the destruction of Judah. And that was Jeremiah who was actually in Judah during the destruction of Judah. And so by the Babylonians. Now unlike Jeremiah, Habakkuk was just doing a dialogue with God. But Jeremiah was actually dealing with the leaders in Judah. And so, and it's kind of different writing, but the message is still the same. It's a warning. And so that's why I want us to think about this morning. It's a long reading, but it's a warning involved with all this reading. Little is known about Habakkuk. Matter of fact, we haven't heard about Habakkuk for a long time. By the way, Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. It's one of the eight minor prophets. And so I hope that the message today will help us, okay? And today's passage, like I say, it's about God is in control, but really it's about how the righteous shall live by faith, and the evildoers will be judged. Even us, we will be judged. And also the fact that God is in control of everything. And the message of Habakkuk is very straightforward. There's really three parts. Habakkuk first complained, and God's answer to his first complaint. And then Habakkuk complained about God's response. And then Habakkuk's prayer. So let's look at this. Okay? Habakkuk's first question was, why haven't you punished the leaders in Judah? waste? That's a good question. Why is there so much unfair treatment? It's not just about computer use. It's about much more than computer use. It's about evil. Okay? And so this is what he said. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you did not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you did not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destructions and violence are before me. Conflict and strife abound. So basically, Habakkuk is having a complaint that God is not listening. Remember I told you this is parallelism. Saying almost like, woof, woof. You know, it's just like to get God's attention because he wasn't listening, supposedly, by Habakkuk. That's what he's saying. And so at this time, leaders of Judah were not being fair with the poor. And there's a lot of problems going on there. Life was getting worse. And the Babylonians were gaining control. They have not been in Judah yet. But at this time, they were gaining control, closing in into Judah. And so the people of Judah should be concerned. But there seems to be no sense of reform. There's no sense of change. Even though Josiah was there, he was reformed. But during Habakkuk's time, it was Joachim. Toward the end, closing in, when the Babylonians will be coming, that was King Joachim. And so we did not hear much about Joachim being reformed. Josiah was reformed. Okay? So Habakkuk seems to be a very godly man who walked closely with God. But why wasn't God listening? Was it Habakkuk? Was it the way he prayed on a daily basis? How long did he pray? I believe Habakkuk prayed for a long time. It's not fair, Habakkuk must have felt. Folks, I said I was going to ask the kids, our children, about what is not fair. I'm going to ask you. How are you doing? How are you doing when there's problems at work? Because we complain a lot about work. How are you doing in your family? You want to share that? How are you doing? Because I'm going to share something that really just got my guts these last 2 weeks ago. And you know, folks, before you share, about a year ago, I was prostrating here, asking God to help me in the middle of the night because life was unfair. People treat me really bad. And you know what? And while I said, you have to be careful too. Those folks are no longer in my lives. And I'm not saying we should pray that God will get rid of people who are giving us a hard time, because God can be sending people to help us. So how are you doing? How are you doing with your life when there's problem? And you want to share a situation in your life when you just feel that it's just not fair? Because I'm going to share something later on. So I hope you can share something. Just say, yes, there's this thing where I just feel that. Then you fill in the blank. Maybe I should warn you last week so you can prepare a speech. So anyway, maybe I should share first. Then you can think about something, and if you don't, that's fine. A few days ago, I talked to someone, and he just asked me, where was God when my daughter-in-law arranged with her new boyfriend to murder my son? Where was God when all these things happening? You see, my son, he said, was in duty in Afghanistan. He came back, was a good father, has children. Now he had two jobs, being an army guy and working security guard. while the daughter-in-law found a new friend, drop friends, and then arrange so that she can get the insurance money. Why? Why did she have the guy shoot my son in front of the children? And when he was running into the house, the final shot finally split the spinal cord, and he fell down. This is a rated R movie, I'm sorry. Why? Where was God? Where was God when my son was dying? I said, God still loves you. And God cares about your son. And God did not arrange for that. It's difficult because Romans 8:28 says everything works together for good. And you know what? I believe that. I believe that everything works together for good. But I told him, I'll be praying for you. And he said, you know what? My grandchildren have not spoken a word about what happened in front of their, in their living room. Their dad collapsed in the living room. The children never talked about it. And finally, they said, the grandpa, there was blood everywhere. And so that's, life is full of evil. It's just evil. So what do we do as Christians when life is unfair? And you know what? A lot of families are splitting up. And I think, and I have to be careful, I think a lot of times when life is not that evil, we just cannot keep up. And yet we have a wonderful God who is in control of everything. It's just a small problem. Then we say, it's just so unfair. I want to end this relationship. I don't want this anymore. And yet, God is in this place. God is with us. So, maybe that's the thought about that Habakkuk had. Why are we, children of God, being treated badly by our own people? You know, the response, and I'm going to, make sure I get you to the next point. But the response from God sounded like there were evil, there's bloodshed, because he was responding almost like eye to eye, tooth for a tooth kind of response. And so I believe there were bloodshed also going on in Judah at that time. Anybody want to share anything? Yes, short and brief and clear. Yes, brother. Amen, brother. Yes, thank you for sharing that. And we'll keep praying for you, brother. Life is unfair. We treat it this way and that, but God is still in control. Okay, so what did God say to Habakkuk's plea for help? So in the course of time, God finally responded to Habakkuk's complaint. And his first statement was, look at all the nations around you. He didn't say, well, look at me, Habakkuk, let's talk. He said, look at all the nations around you. And to think about what's happening at that time. So what was happening? Why was God pointing into the other direction? Well, I believe that God, trying to remind Habakkuk that God is in control of the nations around Judah. There will be a time it's going to take care of those problems. There was a time that he was with Judah and they were so victorious. Well, this time it's for another country. The Babylonians will come and control Judah. And one day, Judah, if they are faithful, will also be victorious. Look at the nations around you, Judah, and see what has been happening and what will be happening in the future. Okay? So remember, God is talking to Habakkuk, thinking about what is yet to come also. They will be victorious if they work and go back to God. So, sometimes, or maybe all the time, when we ask God, it's not really for our own good, it's for God's goodness. And he says, please watch me now. It was like saying, are you ready for what I'm going to say? Are you guys ready? Judah, are you ready for what I'm going to say? I point you to the directions about you, around you, and I'm going to say something. Are you ready? I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people, to solve your problem. And Habakkuk said, say what? Habba. No. Baby, who? And God said, that's right. Babylonians. Habakkuk seems to say, no, there is really something wrong with this picture. And God seems to say, well, you said I am slow. Well, the Babylonians are very fast. They are fast. They sweep across the whole earth to see swelling places not their own. And remember, when Joshua and his people came to the promised land, they got some buildings and vineyards not their own. Right now, it's the other way around. It's the Babylonians gaining buildings and vineyards not their own. And there are qualifications to take care of your problems. They are fearless and have no shame or class. They are fear and dreaded people, loyal to themselves and promote their own honor. And while Habakkuk was still had a loss, his jaw just dropped to the floor. Really unbelief. He said, I don't believe this. Then he came up with this. This is poetry now. I'm trying to play it out, okay? This is not real. That's what the Bible said. So the way I'm saying it is maybe in a different way, but the Lord seemed to say, by the way, I said they're fast. Look, listen, their military is like this. They have special force like the Navy SEALs, you know. They can take care of the problem. He said in verse 7 to 9, their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. You know what? You know when wolves are hungry, they roam around the whole day looking for food and they didn't find food and comes evening. Dusk is evening though. They get so hungry that they're ready to devour their prey, just tear them up. You see a wolf there? That's what I mean, okay? So they're ready to devour, okay? And so that's part of the Navy SEALs per se. And their cavalry gallops headlong. They just come from afar. Just go down like vultures ready to devour their prey. Just really precise going down. Okay? And so they come from far. They have basically no attachment to the land. And their horses like desert wind and gather prisoner. And how their strategy in military wise is like they derail kings. And you know, when there are no leaders, there's no followers. And so, they are pretty good in coming and just remove all the leaders, okay? Derail leaders and just disperse everyone. Like I said, they were just passing by and just destroy. And their mission statement seemed to say complete destruction in on everything in our path, satisfaction guarantees, no question asked, sign the dotted line, hire us anytime. So the Babylonians are just mean, they're devoured, they just want to destroy. And God seemed to say to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, do you have any more questions about the Babylonians? Do you have any more questions? Habakkuk was still at the loss. You know, sometimes God sends us people we don't like. I just noticed that last week. Not the people I don't like, but, okay? But he just sent me somebody last week to remind me about something. And, you know, I really thought about that. That sometimes God uses people we don't expect. And that's why I like Pastor Tom's, what he said so far. Thank you, Pastor Tom. That God just has, we have opportunities all the time. You know, they're already here a few days, but he's already seeing opportunities to worship. I mean, to evangelize. And so, you know, people, God will send people to you. Okay? You see, God's proposed plan was not new. This plan to use the Babylonian, it's not new. Now, during Joshua's time, actually Moses, Joshua, God has warned the people of Judah, well, at the time, it's Israel, many, many times. And when Joshua, in his dying old age, in Joshua 24, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And at that meeting, all the leaders said, yes, when Joshua said, are you sure you're going to follow the Lord? They said, yes, we are definitely sure. We're not going to depart from Yahweh. And he said, are you sure? Well, let's build an altar. They built an altar to say what, to mark what they were saying. It's going to last for a long time. Well, in today's story, they have gone way beyond that promise. Okay? And so that's why God chooses the Babylonians to straighten them out. You see, folks, God hates sin. That's what the Bible said. He hates sin. Can you imagine that? Our God hates sin. And, of course, Romans 6:23 is that the wages of sin is death. Wow. It's dead. There's no question about it. It's dead. And so that's why we have to watch what we do. There is consequences and every single sin we commit. Yes, we're going to heaven, but one day Jesus will open the book and ask you, why did you steal, say something? We're going to be judged. We're going to be judged one day while we're heading to heaven. To heaven. But we'll be judged. It's going to be a sad thing to have Jesus ask you, why didn't you? Sometimes we think that sin is what we did. A lot of times it's also, why didn't we? And one of those didn't we is that we never share the Great Commission. That's a big sin. And so let's think about that. Now, moving on to Habakkuk's second complaint. He's complained to God's response to his first complaint. He had problem with God using the Babylonian because he feels that God was, his sovereignty will not allow him to do that. It's just not right. Oh Lord, you are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. We will not die making a decision about life. Oh Lord, you have appointed to execute judgment. And that's your job. Why are you using the Babylonians to do the judgment? Oh Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Now Habakkuk seemed to say, oh my Lord, and it's okay to say it here. It's almost like say, oh my God, you are everlasting and we are chosen. These non-covenant people should not be our judge and should not take our lives. The covenant should be lasting. These people should not be involved in this equation. Then he elaborated the problem with using them by saying, they are too evil and you are too holy. Your eyes are too pure to look at evil or to tolerate wrong. And another problem that he sees here is that God's chosen people are currently too numerous and helpless, like a school of fish with no leaders. You have made men like Judah, like fish in the sea, like sea creatures without rulers. Now, folks, although verse 14 said, men in general and leader in general, I really believe that he's talking about Judah, not just men in general. You know why? The book of Habakkuk deals with Judah, not just men in general. And so it seems that Habakkuk is saying, we are numerous, we don't have a leader, you're going to have these Babylonians come, we're going to be like fish, like sardine. You know what? My dad was a fisherman. He uses a hook to catch fish and sometimes uses a net to catch the fish that he already hooked up. But what's the deal with the drag net? Drag net are bad business to the fish environment. Everything and anything is caught. And this is what my brother-in-law told me. He used to be in one of those fishing boats, uses drag nets. They caught turtles, sharks, every kind of fish, and they just take out what they want, and sometimes these fish are dead. And so it's a bad way to catch fish per se, because it's destructive. And so the people from Judah are without a leader. And who are the fishermen? The Babylonians. Who is their leader? Nebuchadnezzar. And are we talking about fishing now? We're in poetry. Nothing to do with fishing. But the destructive way is there. Okay? That God will use them to do the business for them, for him. Okay? And what he was saying about rejoice and glad and doing sacrifice to distract it is that, you know, they enjoy so much that they actually like the worshiping these dragnets. Okay? God, like I said, will use anything to speak to us when we go far. So in chapter 2, Habakkuk changed from someone who was almost like a reporter who questions to someone who wants to be a guard in the night in chapter 2, who would be sitting at the city gate just listening. He was waiting for God's next answer. Okay? So he can make maybe another complaint. But then this is what the Lord replied. Almost like, now that you're attentive, now you're listening to me, I'm going to tell you this. And were you ready to write it down? Are you ready to write it down, Habakkuk? And so this is what he said. Babylon will be destroyed. Yes, I'm going to send them. And I told you to look at all the nations around you. Well, the Babylonians will be destroyed. Okay? And verse 14 to 19 said that it speaks of the end. It will be proven right at the end. It may seem long, but it will come and will not be delayed. For, like I said, for verse 4 to 19, wine will destroy him. Akron never rests. Greedy as the grave did, never satisfied. So basically, yes, he came this way. He's going to go back like he's naked, and the wine is going to be drunk. And every nation that he destroyed, even the weak and the poor, they will rise up. They will rise up and come together and destroy Babylonians, the Babylonian army. Okay? So that's one of the, what's going to take place. And verse 4, but the righteous will live by faith. And so Babylon will be eliminated. Now Paul said in Romans 12, do not repay evil for evil. You know, the way I sound, it sounds like I'm asking for evil to take care of evil. But God will do the avenging. God will take care of it. Let all the earth be silent before him. Let us never forget who is in control. Folks, God is in this house. He's seated at his throne. So let him be God of your life. He knows what he's doing. So at this point, Habakkuk changed and to come to his the feet of God and worship God. And we'll be finishing very soon. Okay? And his confession prayer is this. I stand in awe of your deeds. And he tried to bring up the fact that they were, he tried to say about the journey from to Egypt to the promised land, that God was with them all the time. Okay? And he said, I don't know if it's there. We can read it together if you want to as I go to my closing. I will put my faith in the Lord. Read together. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in my Savior. Folks, that's what I want to share. I'm going to do my little landing here really fast, because the time is almost 12 and it's almost lunch. Okay? And so I don't want you to say, that message is good, but it's too long. Okay. But you know what? I think this is very important. And so I'm going to almost read, but make it fast, the closing. You know, finally, God is in control of everything. Everything worked together for good. Habakkuk had a complaint or a burden rather for the people of Judah, but God never do you feel grief when life is just unfair? I have been deeply concerned with the work of terrorism in this world today and the gay rights movement. It's not really a thing against us, but it's a movement that's really moving fast nowadays. You know, we just heard about the lot of things happening. The bombing in Boston. What happened in 911. Terrorism is moving in. And a few months ago, we have threats from North Korea. What if the Lord is sending them to Guam to take care of our problems? It should not be a surprise that the North Koreans will come and send us God's response to the evil in this place. And so we have to remember to stick close to God and be close to Him. So let's think about God that He hates evil. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can pray the same prayer of Habakkuk, that you are our Yahweh, our sovereign and mighty God. Help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's all rise for the benediction, and we will be singing 147, How Great Thou Art, for our doxology. Okay, all rise. May the grace of God shine on you. May make you shine like the dawn and noonday light, and be salt and light of this world. Amen.